Your congregation, our text this morning comes in these tremendous words of Hebrews 13, verse 8. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Dear young people, I wonder if a verse like this might leave you somewhat confused. It's a verse that tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, he does not change. And yet you might think, but surely he did change. There was a time when he was conceived in his mother's womb. There was a time when he was born. And you can read about him growing up. He grew in knowledge. He grew in wisdom. He grew in understanding, so that when he's 12, you can read about Jesus when he's 12. And by this stage, he has changed in the sense that he can now debate and ask questions and give answers to lawyers. And you go on and you read about him, and he comes to the age of 30, and you see him in his public ministry at his baptism. He begins to preach. From this time, Jesus began to do something he had not been doing before. He began to preach and say, "Repent." And you go on, and he lives and he dies. He's on Calvary's tree, and what a great change, you would say, would you not, on Calvary, that there, for the first time into the experience of the man, Jesus Christ, there's this great change that now he has no sense of his Father's love. What a great change that was. And then you see this Jesus, and he is in the grave, and the one who gives breath to everyone is not breathing. He is dead. What a great change death is it not? And yet, as we heard so recently, he is alive. He began breathing. He began to live again, and he has risen. What a great change that was. And then he ascended to God's right hand. What a change that is. We shall be changed, the Bible says, when it speaks of the resurrection. Well, think of the change that Jesus had when he entered, the man Jesus Christ entered into heaven, and the change that came upon him after all the spitting and the mocking and the rejection over here. Now the Lord is saying to our Lord, "Sit at my right hand, now the object of all praise and honor and glory in heaven." What a change that is. And he's coming again in great glory. And what a change there will be then. Then every knee will bow and confess that he is Lord. And so isn't it true that in one sense we can say that no one ever experienced such great changes as Jesus experienced, the man Jesus Christ. No mere creature can reach the height or know the height from which he came. He is the one who could, in the days of his flesh, he could speak to his Father and say, "Father, the glory which I had with you before the world was." What a height of glory that is. And he is, but what a depth he came down to. A depth that we can never reach. And even from there, then, what a height he has ascended to. Nobody has ascended as high as Jesus Christ has ascended. He is sitting now on the highest place there is, the throne. The right hand of the of the majesty in the heavens. What a height. So no one has experienced such great changes as the man Christ Jesus experienced. God has given him a name that is above every name. And yet, for all the tremendous changes that he experienced, we have in our text a most precious truth about Jesus. The same Jesus who endured all these great changes in his experience is the same Jesus who is forever the same. There is something about Jesus Christ that can never change. And it's something that lies at the very heart and center and foundation of the Christian gospel. These words that the angels say to the disciples as they gaze up to heaven are so beautiful, aren't they? This same Jesus. This same Jesus who has experienced such suffering and pain, the same Jesus who has ascended to heaven, is the same Jesus who will come again. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Now, few words, but this is an inexhaustible treasure. There's so many angles at which you could look at this, but this morning we simply want to focus on this truth from these words, and it's this. The way Jesus Christ dealt with people while on earth is the same way he will deal with your spiritual condition if you come to him by faith today. Let me say that again. The way Jesus Christ dealt with people while on earth is the same way he will deal with your spiritual condition if you come to him by faith today. These Hebrews were down. They were dejected. They were tempted to go back to Judaism. By this time, many of the leaders that they had set out with this Christian faith that they had embraced by faith, the godly leaders who spoke to them the word of God, verse 7 says, they had died. By this stage, Stephen has died. By this stage, James, whom Herod slew, has died. James, the brother of our Lord, likely at this time, has died. And no doubt there were others too. People that they would have relied on, people they looked up to, people that were rocks, people that were anchors, people you could go to and you could speak to them and you could get advice from them and comfort and encouragement and wisdom from them. And we've all known people like that. We relied on them to an extent, at least spiritually. They were giants, and we can't but feel their loss. I remember an old minister who's a few years ago, went to glory, and when I saw him just a little before he died, maybe a year before he died, he said, "Ian, I pray for you and your ministry every single day." And how do you not feel the loss of a person like that? People who pray for you, people who speak to you the word of God. You feel the loss. You feel like, you know, the last verse of Psalm 72 says, "The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended." They're no more. You don't hear their voice anymore. They're not there to give you their wisdom and and to speak to you the word of God. They don't pray for you anymore, and you feel the loss. You loved these people. Their lives were made beautiful by grace, and you loved them, but still their lives are like a vapor that appeared for a short time and then vanished away. Their lives become like a tale that was told. That's the way we spend our years. They were like the grass of the field, though we loved them and valued them. They were like the grass of the field. They were there. They grew up. They blossomed, as it were, by grace. And yet the wind passed over it, and it was cut down, and it was gone, and you can't find them here anymore. And you have precious, precious memories of them. And these memories are blessed. But you see, what the apostle here is saying about Jesus Christ is this: Jesus Christ is not like that. His life here on earth was not a tale that was told. It wasn't a vapor that appeared for a short time and then vanished away. His life was not like the grass that withers and fades and is cut down with the evening blast. No, he's saying Jesus is totally different. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, it's worth pointing out here that he doesn't speak about Jesus the way I think we might have expected him to speak about him here. I think if we were wanting to write this text, we would say something like, "The Son of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever." It's the divinity of Christ that makes him the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the title he uses in this place is not the Son of God. It's gloriously true, of course, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you'll never know who this person is unless you first begin. This person is the Son of God. Everything that belongs to God belongs to him, and in that sense, he changes not. In that sense, we can sing of him as we hope to in Psalm 102, a psalm that Hebrews 1 quotes, "From all changes, thou art free." But here, the apostle uses the word, the title and the name, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, the man, Christ Jesus. And therefore, he's emphasizing, he's telling us that it's the Jesus as the one who has come to save his people. That's where the emphasis is. It's the Jesus who lived in this world, the Jesus who was born, the Jesus who lived, the Jesus who died, the Jesus you can find in the Gospels, the Jesus you could go to and speak to and touch and receive virtue from, the Jesus who is the Christ, who has been sent by God, authorized by God, anointed by God, that Jesus. And this is what he's therefore emphasizing, is this Jesus you find in the Gospels is actually the Jesus who finds you now in the Gospels. So the way Jesus Christ dealt with people while on earth is the same way he will deal with your spiritual condition if you come to him by faith today. So you see, if you're a person here and you go to the Bible and you find a person in the Bible and you say, "Well, that's just like me. That's my condition." Indeed, if you go to the Bible and you find any spiritual condition mentioned there, and or you find any need that someone has that pictures your spiritual need, and then you see Jesus or the Word of God coming and Jesus helping and saving and healing and giving mercy and doing all that he did and does to sinners, the question is, should you envy that person? Should you wish that you were there? Do you think the woman by the well, do you think the woman who touched the hem of his garment, do you think blind Bartimaeus is in a more privileged position than you are sitting here this morning? That is only true if Jesus Christ is different today than he was yesterday. It is only true if he has lost his power to save or his ability to save. It is only true if you are able from the scriptures to show that by his ascension into glory, this same Jesus Christ is less accessible, less approachable than he was here. It can only be done if you can show that Jesus Christ, sitting on the throne of everlasting glory now, is now a Savior who is out of reach. And the apostle objects and says, no, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and he doesn't say tomorrow like we might have expected. He says forever. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and all the days, forever. Come now, the Word of God says, let us reason together. As you read of his yesterday 2,000 years ago, the Word of God says, you place yourself now in the same place, and you can expect the exact same response and help and virtue and grace from the same Savior. You will find that the Jesus Christ of yesterday is the same Jesus as today. You will find that the one who was able to save to the uttermost, all those who came to him, is the Jesus who is able to save to the uttermost, all those who come to him now. And that means you, when you come to him now. And he will do so now because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, you can read the Word of God. You can listen to it, read and preached. You can sing it. You can see a man in it who was sick. Luke chapter 5. There's a man in Luke 5. You can read about him later. He's full of leprosy. That's what it says, full of leprosy. He's diseased. He's unclean. He's to be outside the camp. He is full of leprosy. And this man comes to Jesus and says, Lord, if thou wilt, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And you come then today and you say, well, that's the way I am right now, spiritually. With my burden of transgression, heavy laden, overborne, humbled low, I make confession for my folly, now I mourn. My need is the same need as that leper. I need to be made whole. And my prayer is essentially the same as that leper. Weak and wounded, I implore thee, Lord, to me thy mercy show. All my prayer is now before thee. All my trouble thou dost know. And your prayer is, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And dear friend, the Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is saying now, I will, be thou clean. Maybe this morning you find yourself weary and tired of yourself, tired of your own attempts to do better, tired of your own efforts to get to God, tired of trying and failing, trying and stumbling, trying and never getting there. And Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is saying to you now, as he said then, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But are you here and you find yourself concerned and anxious about your soul? You've been reading your Bible and you've been praying about it alone. You're trying to make sense of it. You're trying to make sense of what it all means, and you're asking questions about this Jesus that you read about, and you're trying to put it all together, and you want more. You've seen something, but you need to know more. You need to understand it. You need to understand him. You need it to fit together, and you're desiring, Lord, give me light, give me understanding, and you're praying for this. And the word of God comes to you today as it did 2,000 years ago, and that yesterday as it did in John 1, and you have somebody saying, come and see him. You have a Philip going to Nathanael saying, come and see, we have found Messiah. And he today is saying what he said yesterday when he sees you, behold, an Israelite. Someone who's taking the word, someone who's praying, someone who's wrestling with God, someone who's saying, Lord, that which I see not, teach thou me. An Israelite, Jesus says now, in whom there is no guile. And it's as though he's known you. You've been trying to know him. And all this time you suddenly find he's known you, and you ask, how do you know my name? How do you know who I am? And he says to you, now I saw you. When you were searching to see me, I saw you under the fig tree. I saw you studying the word. I heard your prayers. I put them into my bottle. And when he comes so gloriously to those who seek him in this way, he comes and he says, yes, you have seen something of my glory. You have seen a glimpse of it, and you want to see more. And this is what he says, you will see greater things than these. There is more, my dear friend, than any of us here or any of us put together. There is far, infinitely far more to be seen in Jesus Christ. You will see greater things than these. What a promise. What an encouragement. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever is to any poor sinner here, any poor sinner convinced of sin, any poor sinner who needs salvation, any poor sinner who has come to realize, I cannot save myself. I can't contribute. I am unable, indeed I might even find myself here this morning, unwilling. But this question is in your mind, will Jesus receive me? Will he turn me away? I know he has a large heart for sinners. I know he has a loving heart for sinners. But is it large enough for a sinner like me? Is there love in him for a sinner like me? I've gone on so long in sin. My whole life has been a great confusion, maybe you're thinking this morning, a great lie. All I bring this morning is a riddle, a big history of sin and misery and unbelief. And how can I possibly expect today that a Savior like this would receive a sinner like me? I have a prayer for you. It's right out of the Word of God. Psalm 106. O Lord, remember me in grace. Let me salvation see. The grace thou showest to thy saints, that grace reveal to me. And you see, here then is your hope. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same Jesus who in Luke 15 spoke of the lost coin and the lost sheep and the lost son. And this was his sermon. The text was given to him by the Pharisees. The Pharisees gave him the text. This man receiveth sinners and eateth, and he eateth with them. And he took that text and he said, this is my text and this is my glory. And he said, and he spoke of the joy that there was in heaven over sinners that repent. Do you think this Jesus gives salvation grudgingly? Then you have a different Jesus. The Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever says, rejoice with me because that which was lost is found. That which was dead is alive. That, my dear friend, is not a Savior who will turn away any poor sinner that comes to Him. Do you find yourself this morning with anxiety in your soul? Then He is a Savior for you. Do you find yourself here, though, with no anxiety in your soul, no concern, careless, indifferent? Even maybe now you're thinking of something different. You're listening here because you have to. It's more of a chore than a delight. The best part of worship for you is the end. Maybe even in this situation where you can't come to church, deep down secretly, you're quite happy and content with that. You think Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, has nothing to say to you. Well, I insist that you come with me now to the Mount of Olives and that you see Him there looking right at you and weeping for you. When you won't weep for yourself, here is a Savior, the greater Jeremiah, weeping for you. And you must ask the question, why is He weeping for you? Why is there tears streaming down His face as He looks at your condition? Because He sees destruction, your destruction, which is before you without God and without Christ. And you ought to hear Him say to you today, as He said yesterday, how often I would gather you as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Oh, what a mercy that you could hear that today. And that yesterday would not be from the perspective of a lost eternity, but that today you can hear His voice and turn, and He will gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, but I find providence so hard and the situation I'm in so confusing, and you go to and you read in the scripture of Christ and He's on the boat and He's asleep, and it's like He doesn't realize the situation you're in this storm. And the question that the disciples ask, you find yourself asking, Master, don't you care? Was there ever a harder question for Jesus to hear? Master, don't you care? Why was He here except that He cared? And this Jesus rebukes the wind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has the same concern for His people, the same love for His people, the same interest, the same care for His church. We worry about the church. We worry about the church of Christ, and yet it's true today as it was yesterday. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. I will build my church. This virus has not stopped this purpose of God. And in our own experiences, we have so many ups and downs, don't we? We have so many highs and lows, and maybe in these days we find ourselves with more highs and greater highs and more lows and greater lows, more ups and more downs, bright days and dark days, and we're like sheep, and sometimes we feel like we're behind the shepherd, and other times we can't hear His voice, and we've gone astray, and we get ourselves into trouble. But listen here, Jesus Christ is the same. The Good Shepherd is the same. And whether you are feeding by green pastures or whether you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you can say, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Charles Spurgeon one time recounts a situation in his congregation, a sad situation where many died. There was a false alarm, a fire alarm. And some died and many were injured. And what Spurgeon said, he said, although the earth shook under him, yet his throne stood as fast and as firm as ever. And can't we say that today? Although the earth is shaking under us, His throne stands as fast and as firm as ever. Do you find yourself a parent today concerned about your children? Maybe you're at your wit's end. can hardly listen to sermons because of the distraction or the care or the thought, or you don't know what to do anymore, well, listen, go to Mark 9 and you'll find a similar situation there. Bring them to the Lord. Bring them to the Jesus who is able. The disciples couldn't bring the devil out of that poor boy, but the Savior could. There's things that only the Savior can do, dear parents. Bring your children to the Savior in prayer and instruction and love. Others might rebuke you. Others might tell you to stop. Others might tell you to leave them alone. But he will defend you, and he will rebuke even his disciples who do that. Don't forbid them. Don't forbid them to come unto me. Don't say it's not appropriate right now. It is. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today. Bring your children to him today in prayer. And some of you here find yourself with Martha and Mary. You've lost a brother. You're weeping over a brother that you loved. Maybe you find yourself saying, oh, if Christ were here, my brother would not have died. But Jesus is with you. And you can't even be at the graveside, some of you. And yet, Jesus, who is at the graveside, is also with you. He can be in these both places at the same time. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is saying to you where you are, your brother shall rise again. He is saying to you, I am the resurrection and the life. Maybe you're here and you're afraid of death yourself. And yet he is saying in his word, fear not, I will be with thee. Don't be dismayed, I am thy God. You know, Jesus makes a promise to his bride. Or rather, Jesus never makes a promise to his bride that we do. McKenna and Case, Lord willing, this week will promise to love each other, to serve each other, until death do them part. Jesus never made that promise to his bride. He never says, till death do us part. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why one of his bride could say, to me to live today is Christ, to die is gain, because that's the forever. That's the forever with the Lord. It's more Christ. There was a Christian woman in Andrew Bonar's congregation in Scotland, and she was afraid of dying. And you can read about this in his biography. And he read Revelation 1 to her about Jesus having the keys of heaven and hell, of death and the grave. And she said after he was finished reading that if Jesus has the keys, then he will be the first face that I see. And that was her comfort, and that's the comfort for all God's people. And God's people do have fears about dying. It's so unnatural. But the first face, the face that is first seen, is the face of the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The face of the one who loved them and bled for them in Calvary's tree. And there was Stephen looking up, seeing Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, ready to receive him. So the way Jesus Christ dealt with people while on earth is the same way he will deal with your spiritual condition if you come to him by faith today. There's a timelessness to this. You think of the cross of Christ itself. Yes, even Hebrews makes so clear that Christ died once. He's not offered forever. He dies once. But what he performed on Calvary's cross, you see, was of such value that he needed only die once. And therefore, in its power to save, it reaches back and it reaches forward. And It's such a mystery that the one who died once outside the gates of Jerusalem, you can look back to his yesterday and you can see a great yesterday, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, and you can look to his forever, and you can look to the throne he is on now in heaven and forever in heaven, and it is, you see there by faith the Lamb as though he had been slain. That's why Hugh Martin says something like that the cross of Christ, the death of Christ, the blood of Christ rides on the wings of the Holy Spirit, and it rides all the way back to the consciences of Adam and Eve, the first of who fell, and it rides forward all the way to the last sinner who will be washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb, and it reaches, my friend, to you this day with all its power and efficacy. You can come to him now, you can fall before him now and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and that Jesus Christ, on the basis of his blood that cleanses, is the one who says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. We have a yesterday. We have a today. My dear friends, we have a forever. These are most gloriously comforting words to believers, to seekers, they are very solemn words to any who are without Christ. You have a yesterday. You have a today. You have a forever. And this text warns those who reject Christ not to go on ignoring, rejecting, refusing to believe his gospel. Because this text tells you, you will meet him. He is real. You will stand before him. You can't get away from this fact that he is the same forever. At some point in our tomorrows, in our forevers, we will meet him face to face. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they are good or whether they are evil. And what, my dear friend, will you say to him on that day? What will you say to him? It should be an alarming, a terrifying thing to anyone who is going on to eternity, knowing all about Jesus Christ, but not knowing him in a saving way. Verse 7 is connected to this verse. It speaks about the end of those who spoke to you the word of God. Someone said that the word is sometimes used with the idea of the landing of a ship. The place it ends, the journey ends, the landing of the ship, the place you get off. And as one old minister said, where do you think your landing will be? Where do you think your landing will be when you take your last breath? When you pass by your yesterday and your today and you go into your forever, where will your landing be? Will it be with Christ in glory? Or will it be an eternity of hearing these words, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire? And just very briefly here, I want to draw out one implication in conclusion in terms of our worship. Because of this truth, verse 9 comes in and really tells us that Jesus Christ was and is and forever will be the central theme of all gospel preaching. Indeed, of all worship. But Jesus Christ was and is and forever will be the central theme of all gospel preaching. This is why we preach Jesus Christ. This is why there is a sameness to the message. Not that we're just saying the same things by cliche over and over. Not that we're preaching literally the same sermon on a different text as though the Bible was all flat and there was nothing to it. No, but the heartbeat is Christ. And he is in all the scriptures, and we preach the scriptures, and so he is central to this message. If he is different, then we will bring you a different message. If he has changed, then we will change it too. If he has changed his view of sinners, his attitude, his ability, his willingness to save, then our message will change too. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we preach this same Jesus. And that keeps us, verse 9 says, from being carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. This idea of a leaf in the wind being tossed this way and that way. Wherever the wind goes, the leaf goes. Somebody thinks this, and that sounds plausible, and you go there. And then somebody else says that, and that sounds good too, and then you go there, and then you're back here, and you're all over the place. That's the idea. Don't be carried about. Don't be all over the place with different and strange doctrines. What will keep you? What will anchor you? What will make you more like a tree that is fixed, planted by the river? What will give you some backbone? What will give you some spiritual steel? It's this. It's having a fixed, a steady view by faith, a soul-satisfying view by faith of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why the Christian has their mind, their soul, their hearts taken up with Christ. They love him. They want to know more of him. They're not saying, don't tell us so much about Jesus. They're saying, tell us more about Jesus. Because they're satisfied with him. He is the one who meets their deepest needs and longings. And they've got something now which is a pearl of great price. Such a person will not be attracted by all the different and the strange ideas people concoct in their religious quest for relevance. All the relevance I ultimately need is this: I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I want to swim in that ocean full treasure forevermore. That's all the relevance. That is the most relevant thing. And this is why New Testament worship centers on Jesus Christ. That's why it is unapologetically word-centered. To be word-centered is to be Christ-centered. To be Christ-centered is to be word-centered. Because when I read the word, I'm reading of Christ. When I sing the word, I am singing the words the Holy Spirit gave us about Christ. When I preach the word, I am preaching the scriptures that concern him. When I pray, I am praying to the Father in the name of Christ all the things that are agreeable to his word. The way Jesus Christ dealt with people while here on earth is the same way he will deal with you in your spiritual condition if you come to him by faith today. So we preach Christ. And don't you refuse him. Don't go on ignoring him. Don't live as though Jesus Christ was one thing yesterday and a different thing today. He's the same. Receive him. Believe him. Go to him in your desperate need. Go to him in whatever condition you have, and you will find a Savior who will meet your need, dealing with you and your sin as fully and as freely as ever he did. He won't treat you differently, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let us pray.